Everyone has gone daft for colonisation at Hutton, and it's no wonder. There are new places to visit, grand projects to be embarked upon, wonders to be catalogued, and gullible people to be separated from their credits. Commander Chicks has dug out his pith helmet, donned khaki shorts and swagger stick. He has spent the morning in the hydroponics bays shouting at the plants about they have to buck their ideas up and that they won't last 5 minutes on the new frontier without a bit of gumption. Speaking of gumption, there's a stall on the parade selling 5 litre bottles of it for 50 credits. No one actually knows what it does, but everyone agrees it would be a bad idea to drink it, or to get it in your eyes, or on your skin, or breathe in the fumes. The big screen is encouraging people to move to the off-world colonies, and crowds gather to ooh and ah at the sights, shown while forgetting they actually live on an off-world colony. And the reality is that it's a bit grotty, and the lights don't always work, and it smells of frayed bentos pies all the time. Down at the docking bays, Gusto the Clown is filling his cargo hold with some kind of novelty, described as boomsticks. They look a lot like ancient muskets. He's already loaded a batch of clockwork laser rifles with a winding handle on the side in case they don't have any electricity out there. Commander Vantillon has loaded the Shady Lady with flags. So many flags. As you know, a colony cannot be claimed unless someone sticks a flag in it, and Vantillon is ready. A voice cuts through the buzz of activity and says,
"Our mics are live." Good evening, and I'm Rudolph. No, I'm not Rudolph Hooker. I'm Mike Rochburns, and I have an asp full of flags.
That must be painful. How do you sit down? Sorry, I'm Sandy Crevice, and I just don't know where to stick them all.
Well, I can suggest a few places, and for that I can only apologise.
I'm Norma Stockers, and I'm not falling for that again.
Maybe we should do the headlines. Brewer in Oopsie as flag shortage curtails the colonisation.
Hutton begins building bridges to the middle of nowhere.
Ship's computer to take the register.
Alec Turner is evil lair swoop to pointy precipice.
And look, everyone, if you're going to keep finding new systems, how am I supposed to keep up with the BGS? With flair and panache, that's how.
With the galaxy, or at least the bubble, bursting at the seams this week, commanders took the opportunity to expand their influence and rediscover their love of trucking. Huge volumes of stuff and their newly built bar, to the newly built bar, at the Science Lab or Spaceport. In the last 24 hours, the Brewer Corporation and the Pilots Federation released an important update. They confirmed that the commanders of the Pilots Federation were no longer allowed to colonize new systems. Oh, speculation has been wild as to the causes of the pause in the building of the bigger borders of humanity. One commander in the Galactic Forum suggested that it was because I saw some dude build a whole Coriolis in under 24 hours using nothing more than a sidewinder full of Lego bricks. Another suggested it was to do with the sheer volume of new systems confusing the heck out of the universal cartographics and them wrongly attributing systems to the wrong commander. Hutton, however, have discovered a real truth behind the matter. They're out of flags. A spokesperson for the Brewer Corporation gave a little detail. There was an ordering oversight when planning ahead for the wave of colonization. We built just the right amount of beacons, colonization megaships, had all the prefab units ready to go, but ordered only 10% of the required flags. No flag, no claim. It's that easy. So, we've taken the step of repurposing some of the station's banners that were produced just weeks before President Hudson left his job and cutting them up to make colonization flags. We also discovered a batch of broom handles that we can use as poles if needed. Needless to say, Hutton teams have been busy building the latest and greatest Hutton project and have put their expansive tendencies on hold and instead concentrate on filling our systems with Alvin's influence. Now I've read that completely wrong. I'm going to try again on that bit. To put their expansive tendencies on hold and instead concentrate on filling our systems that Alvin's influence has already extended to. As for the dude wearing the Lego bricks, he's been incarcerated in the orbital prison ship for being a bit of an oaf. And the names on the systems, Flossie's already set about with her pan at the Universal Cartographics offices in an effort to solve it and get her name down as an architect.
Talking of expansion, Hutton's latest mega project got off to a roaring start this week. The Evil Master Plan. As the space around Alpha Centauri is a bit congested, and most of the unoccupied systems are a little dull, we decided we needed a new outpost, somewhere out near the rim of civilization. A home away from home for truckers to rest their weary heads, and of course, far from the influence of the Federation, or indeed anyone. The hustle and bustle of life near the Sol system, as well as the ever-present prospect of invasion by alien races, the Empire, pirates and mug deniers is not to everyone's tastes. And with Hutton Orbital a mere 25 minutes away via Super Cruise Overdrive driven drives, its legendary status as somewhere to pop for a bit of quiet and a nice mug of gin has steadily been eroded. So, the Hutton Bridge Project was born. There are people who suggest, why don't you start at the edge and skip this bridge thing? But that wouldn't be very Huttonish, as A, the new system we colonize would promptly be handed to someone else, and B, what if Hutton pilots need to pop to a pee en route? And of course, 3, what if someone wants to get a taxi as they've had a glass or two of the strong stuff? The destination? Out there. That-a-way. Yonder. Not in the direction of Sag A Star, as everyone is doing that. Nor in the direction of the Pleiades for the same reason. Or Bernard's Loop, as that's a bit congested already. And not even in the direction of Polaris, as LCU has that one in hand. Of course, up is right out, as space runs out in that direction. Well, you know, not space. Stars. Or down, for the same reason, as the Milky Way's arms are long, but decidedly narrow. So, that left us with 2 choices. Clockwise or Widdershins. And after a late appeal by Commander Volcarius that Widdershins was a dreadful made-up word, clockwise it was. Ably managed by Commanders Inner Bushman, Fannin Steele, Steve the Red, Flossie, and a host of Hutton truckers, we are now firmly approaching our 10th system in the chain. Once Brewer finishes making those flags, of course. An assortment of facilities have been built en route, from orbital stations that can act as secondary radio stations if this one never catches fire again, to planetary ports, satellites, scientific and research installations, and even an industrial factory or two. No news yet as to when the bar will be online. Apex taxis appear to be the only member of the concourse crew available in any of the new facilities so far, sitting behind a dark and murky desk in case someone needs a lift. For any Hutton truckers, friends, or other space pilots wanting to be part of this effort, please report to Inner Bushman, Fannin Steele, and the team over in the Hutton Discord. As for Snuggles McKeague, wow, Rumours are that he's involved in a top secret project of another kind on behalf of Hutton. Details to come in future weeks.
In a startling turn around for the Pilots Federation Confederation of crew members, we've received word in the last 24 hours that there is a change coming to a hired crew. No, they've not been to Specsavers to enable them to shoot straight, nor been to remedial lessons regarding ship module power management. It turns out that when boarding your ship, and as everyone knows, that does not involve sitting in one of those nice chairs in the cockpit helping with things. It involves sitting in their bunk in their quarters with a VR headset on and then taking a huge amount of your cash just in case you want them to telepresent into a fighter. These highly paid billionaire crew members have been forgetting to sign a register. Yes, when you look down at your crotch panel, you can see their face on a little screen before mashing a get out there and fight, what do you think I'm paying you all this money for button. But when it comes to your ship systems, your onboard computer has no idea they're aboard until you actually go to use them. This could be testament to how unobtrusive they are, though likely they're just hiding in the innards of your ship hoping you didn't notice that as they siphon off all your cash. But in reality, it's just laziness. The Pilots Federation have now confirmed that upon boarding your ship, or swapping ships, or popping out for a coffee and leaving your ship unattended, the ship's register will be taken and any NPC crew member is required to provide a clear "here, miss" in response. In addition to these changes, there has also been confirmation that a new light bulb has been ordered for supercruise overdrive markers and supercruise assist, and has been installed down in the server room so your ship's computer can at a glance verify that such things are actually turned on.
Commander Alec Turner, Galactic celebrity, racing driver, chairperson of the SFE Drivers Association and honorary member of the Galactic Stunt Drivers Club, has been taking advantage of the ability to build his own planetary bases. And, combing through his extensive library of pictures from Planet T's crashed on / driven around, he's found his ideal home settlement location. Fresh from building new planetary settlements, not to finish them, but instead to leave them as construction sites, as his very own Hooning stunt driving location, for posting videos of him giving it a dab of Oppo round the dusty bends, he has decided there is one location that he really wants. And it comes with a dose of dastardly flair. The kind of thing that has a chair where he can sit with his diamond necklace wearing fluffy cat, grab an eye patch and an imposing grey suit and say things like, "Talk, Mr. Bond. No, I intend for you to die," before laughing maniacally. This new lair is perched atop a precipitous and positively pointy precipice and only accessible via spacecraft. There are rumours that this mountain is actually a volcano, and that he discovered it while in freefall to the planet's surface while strapped to a shark covered in 500 kilos of explosives. Alec Danger Turner has built the ultimate base jumping base, kilometres high, steep-sided and with just enough of a run-up to do his own experiments on the effects of gravity on SRVs. While it's likely that he'll go splat, or boom, or kathunk ow, there's a possibility that due to the altitude of this peak, he might be able to actually orbit the planet from the top of it. His inaugural plan is to use it as a site to do a do-or-die race, having commanders circumnavigate the settlement under fire and attempt to not fall off the edge. For those that survive the drop, there is of course the problem of having to call one's ship back to get a ride back to the top, as he is steadfastly refusing to build a funicular, or a cable car, or a lift.
Welcome to the Hutton BG Expert, where we sneak into the Hutton Situation Room and swap all of the green bulbs for red ones, just to see the look in their faces. Well, it's been a busy old week. You lot didn't hang around when Trailblazers landed, so we have gone from having presence in 52 systems to having presence in 143. That is a lot of CMM composites. For tonight's report, I'm going to focus on all of the core systems, because if I have to get through all of those other systems, I might need to put on my Remlock and go outside for a little scream. It will come as no surprise that Hutton is in expansion. Again. I have no idea where from or where to. Clever people can do that stuff, but you're stuck with me. Your booms this week are in 36 Ofiuchi and Ross 671. Investment continues in Barnard Star, but has ended in Wolf 359. And, well, that's about it, to be honest. Not much doing, really. But what does it all mean? Well, if you want to truck it, then truck it to Barnard Star, 36 Ofiuchi, or Ross 671. Same goes for mission running. And if you want to shoot it, then you'll have to go somewhere else and shoot it. Maybe a nice anarchy system. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit.
That's the wrong button.
That wasn't the wrong button.
Seamless.
That was the right button.
Nary a seam inside.
No websites here. No, no.
No, no. Nothing to see here. No, it went like clockwork. That worked. It was the right music. At just the right time.
Yeah, it worked. It was the most seamless
first button push we've had.
We wouldn't have even noticed if you hadn't said, oh, no.
No, I definitely noticed.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
The stream will have noticed for sure.
Yeah, please 5% faster when it's the right button.
I mean, if you press the right button at the beginning, then it's all documented and recorded.
Oh, no.
You have pressed record, haven't you?
Yeah, what? The red button, yeah?
Yeah, he pressed it twice just to make sure.
Yeah. The one with eject written on it.
Yes, our usual radio host is elsewhere. He's on a little adventure. He's off to see a museum somewhere of old bits of machinery and things.
I heard trains were involved.
He was getting on a train, which probably should be in a museum.
It's a very directed type of spaceship.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right, though, because he's taking his mum with him.
Is she going to hold his hand?
I don't know.
Only when he crosses the road?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she'll just grab his arm when he's crossing the road. He's like, go now!
Probably wise. He'll end up getting red on him otherwise.
I think he's away to the Science Museum and he's taking his mum with him.
Yeah. They've got one of their science lights running tonight. I'm not sure what the special is, but...
that'll be good.
Yeah, they usually look very interesting, so... Hopefully he'll have an excellent time and give us a... He'll give us an outside broadcast report next week.
So.
Yes.
Well, there is something that David usually does at this point. He asks a question. It's the same question. Was there a live stream?
No, it's the last Wednesday.
No.
I think we'd learn this by now.
Yeah, but you know somebody's always going to ask if we don't. So...
Yeah, but the only reason I know what day it is because we're doing the show. I've got no chance of knowing what week it is.
Yeah.
I have a hard time remembering what year it is half the time.
I know that one. It's 3311.
Yay!
Hey!
I did come to write the date on the script and I was like, yeah, I have no idea if this is in the conventional date or spaceship date.
I thought I'd put the date on the script.
There were two scripts with the same name.
No!
I just got to say this. Someone has mentioned Frey Bentos in the chat.
Yes.
What a coincidence.
What have they said about Frey Bentos?
What have they said?
Have you heard of Frey Bentos? Is Cubicle 3 playing up again?
No, did you
know? It's because it was mentioned in the intro.
Been an announcement. Some of the hull plates, in fact, loads of the hull plates are made from recycled Frey Bentos pythons.
Yeah,
just Just in case Frey Bentos is listening, we love your pies. Give us pies.
Yeah, we're open to sponsorship deals.
Yep. Charity
do you know when Sean Bean did that? They gave him a T-shirt as well.
Really?
When he went to film Sharp in Spain, he took something like 83 Bentos pies with him. They gave him a T-shirt because he didn't know what the food would be like.
Do you think their T-shirts have to have an extra pot belly section or something?
I his T-shirt just says something like, I love Frey Bentos.
I kind of want to say let's stuff up the order because the word of the week related to the statement about Cubicle 3 feels quite apt at this point. Or shall we save that joy for later? You might be right. I think there's a problem with Cubicle 3.
There's always a problem with Cubicle 3.
Yeah.
It's Cubicle 3.
It's Cubicle 3, yes. Oh, dear. Well, at least nothing's bumped through the porcelain this week.
Not this again. No. Anything else anybody would like to share? Or shall we go straight on to our next thing?
Let's go on to the next thing.
Before we do, just for reference for the people who haven't actually heard it yet, that one's probably a good option. I've got the Frey Bentos announcement, so we can play that for people.
Oh, yes, please.
As soon as I can find the way to actually make it work on a button. Where's my buttons gone? There they are. So if I put that there, and I put that there, I should be able to.
Our hull plating is made from recycled Frey Bentos pie tins. No, really, you can smell the gravy.
And there you go. Frey Bentos, building stations since 3306.
Yes. Give us pies.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You got hull plates and you get to feed the workforce.
Yep.
Perfect. Who knows what you're feeding them, though? But still
Frey Bentos pies. Still,
Frey Bentos pies.
it's meat. Feeding them meat and pastry.
Yeah, anything that comes in an animal's meat, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what animal it is.
No,
and it's always anything wrapped in pastry is always good.
Yeah, and all you need to know is it's good meat.
Define good.
It's tasty meat. Tasty.
Good is the stuff that doesn't have tubes in it.
It's the gooderest meat.
Ah, okay. We may have a problem there, Mia.
Yeah, it does. Well, it's okay, meat.
Let's just go with tasty.
Yeah,
we think it's meat.
We may need to time out Mad Seeker, though. They said that they're the worst pies.
It's probably,
I'm not sure
probably
that's an acceptable opinion.
But what I other pies do, yeah. even are there, dare I ask?
Apart there are from pocket Greg's pies.
It's Greg's pies.
Greg's pies, yeah.
Greg's aren't that bad.
The Scotch pies?
Scotch pies are the best.
Yeah. Macaroni pies?
No.
They're okay.
No. Yeah, macaroni pies are a real thing.
What I want in they my stodge thing. Is more stodge. It's like having mashed potato in a pastry. Why would you do that?
I knew a cafe that used to offer a special of macaroni, cheese and chips. And it's like, have some carbs. That was lunchtime. You'd have that and then you'd just go for a sleep at your desk. Just lie down to the effects going off. Yeah.
Oh, mince pies. Mad Seeker says mince pies are the best.
Oh, yes. Not
yeah, yeah. I yeah, guess yeah. You've got a point there, Mad Seeker. Okay, you can stay in the chat. We'll allow that.
What are the ones? What are the steak and gravy pies you get as well? The Scotch pies.
You get Scotch pies. I'm a fan of steak and kidney.
I don't like the smell of the kidney.
I don't like the taste of the kidney.
Yeah, that's why
mince beef and onion are really good.
Yeah, I usually
nice
get
and
the
juicy.
I usually get the steak, one of the minced beef and onion.
Like cheese and onion.
And on our next feature,
cheese and onion.
The Hudson Orbital Pie.
Yes. Yes. Pies of Hudson Orbital.
Now there would be a raffle prize at ECM.
We don't eat a lot of meat.
Yeah. Oh, a selection of a Frey Bentos gift basket.
Oh, if that's in the raffle, I'm so buying the tickets.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll just buy a shedload of tickets.
I just want to see a Coriolis pie. I think that could work quite effectively.
A
Corioli is shaped like a big Fray
Bentos pie tin.
Yeah. You could do that, yeah. You could shape the pastry like a pie and then just put a filling in it.
You mean pastry?
Pastry, yeah. Oh yeah, that could be done.
So I have an idea. Given that in the past I've seen there was a pub where they served shepherd's pie in a pint glass,
oh,
which you eat with a long spoon.
Long spoon would be over, but
I can't remember the name. I just remember that. Oh. I know. And so I was thinking,
I would totally go there just for that.
I was thinking, you've got the Hutton Mug, right? I don't know how big a Hutton Mug is, but you might be able to serve a small pie in it.
Pie in a mug.
Yeah.
You definitely get cake in a mug. Like a microwave cake.
How did they get that in the oven? You know what I mean? How did they do that without breaking the glass?
Well, I mean, mugs are ceramic.
But
pint glasses aren't.
The pint glass with the shepherd's pie in it.
You'd pre-cook it all, you'd stick the mince in, you'd stick the mash on top, and then you'd probably just hit it with a blowtorch to crisp off the mash.
Okay, yeah.
Well, no, you can get, you can get glassware for the oven. I don't see why.
Yeah. You find a hard time finding pint glasses made in borosilicate glass.
Just get a stein. The glass is so thick, it's not going to break.
That's
a lot of pie, though, is it not?
That's
you saying
of...
you can't you say handle that, like that a bad amount thing? Of pie?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that is a lot. You need to be aware that's a lot of pie you're getting there.
A lot of pie.
Remember earlier when we were talking about people talking about USB sockets in Mexican hotel rooms and things like that?
Pre-show, yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to shout Aardvark and move on.
Oh, no, no, no.
No.
No. No. Valkarius has just shared a thing. I'm not sure what this is going to do to the stream, but here we are. Pint glasses with pies in it. Is it going to work? Did I do the button right? I want pies. Look at that. No, we want plates. Oh, this is the website.
I can only see the top of it.
That's because I can't remember how to do the website thing. I'm trying to remember.
Interact.
That's got a big head.
I beg your pardon.
It's big petite wee face, look.
Pint with a big head.
To be fair, it looks like I was most of the way there. They just never bothered hitting it to crisp off the mash.
Oh, it's in a tankard.
Yeah, pint glass.
Pint glass tankardy thing.
I was thinking of like a straight pint glass, you know, but...
That's only down in south.
Yeah.
Like up north, you get a proper pint.
You can see the peas in it and everything. Yeah, that's not been crisped off with a blowtorch.
No.
Wow.
Oh, dear. The fact that this website exists amuses me. Oh dear. Anyway, that I've got websites open, shall we go on to space news?
Oh, go on then.
Probably not the worst idea at this point.
I'm just reading the website. We want plates.
Oh, I pressed it twice. I didn't know I could do that. Stop that. Sorry, you wanted to look
seams,
at the website.
Seams, we have seams.
Seamless.
Seamless. You still have the website up. We don't see the space news.
No, you don't see the space news. I was planning to do it and then I pressed the space news button twice. We landed on the moon. Or somebody landed on the moon.
Oh, Blue Ghost.
Yeah, Blue Ghost landed on the moon and
did you watch the video?
Intelligent machines might have.
Did you watch the video of it actually landing?
No.
No, I'm waiting for the book.
They're waiting for the film. There aren't many pictures actually, in this article.
They actually recorded the landing. You see everything.
Is it painful to watch?
Yes. No, it's cool. You know, you got the little puff of dust as it hits.
Oh.
And everything. It's really cool.
Yeah. there'll be people that are analysing that puff of dust right now. Well, I see analysing, looking at that puff of dust right now and going, yeah, yeah, look at the way the dust is landing. That's not on the moon.
Looks quite... It's very well hung.
It rather is, isn't it?
I'm glad someone else said that.
Has it got a lot of junk in its trunk?
It's oh dear.
Got a lot of junk out of its trunk.
Yeah.
Oh dear. There was another picture of this landing that I thought was interesting, or how this ship was going to work. So it's landed, but we don't know which way round it is. So I'm a bit confused as to...
Different ship.
Oh, this different is a ship. Different ship. So we've landed on the moon twice.
Yep, this is Athena, the intelligent machines offering. It's IM-2. It's their second lander. It's just that... well, it definitely touched down. Beyond that, we're not so sure. Down,
but apparently it's going to go hopping again.
Well, the original plan was it for it to go hopping again.
Yes.
Currently, it definitely touched down.
Right. And then nothing.
Well, unclear.
You see touchdown, what you're actually seeing is it definitely made contact with the moon.
Well, no, apparently it touched down at a reasonable speed.
Okay.
Just possibly not in a reasonable state.
Yes,
They're working on it.
Uh-huh.
But it definitely touched down.
There okay. Is. Touched out. No, hang on. This is last year's.
Yeah, that's Odysseus. This one is... I've got it written down. What does it call it?
Athena.
Athena, yes.
The size. I mean, not only the size of a telephone box, it's the shape of a telephone box as well.
And it may actually have a telephone inside
it. What I just spotted, well, actually, yes, it does. A type of antenna mast will be deployed or developed at midnight. It should be planted on the moon. We have literally put a phone booth on the moon.
I'm sorry, the lander cannot come to the phone right now. Please leave a message after the beep.
Oh, so I could have played that, but someone took it out.
it could be like the Bill and Ted one. Time-traveling phone box.
Oh, yeah.
That would be most excellent.
Yes.
Very good. Oh dear. But shall we find out what's going on with SpaceX? I feel like I'm right.
That's easy. Starship 8 didn't explode
yet.
It was due to launch a couple of days ago and it didn't explode.
It didn't
make it off the pad. Yeah. So there's plenty of time still.
I thought you said
in fact there are 2.5 hours before it might explode next.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said SpaceX. I wonder who was having SpaceX.
Nobody officially.
Aliens.
Probably.
Yeah.
And you will be able to go and watch it explode for yourself, or not.
Yay! Hooray!
Shortly after tonight's show.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody's went over and painted in on it.
And it does look very 1950s sci-fi, doesn't it?
I thought you were going to say it does look very explodey. Yeah. Yeah, that'll go up with a bang in no time.
Of course it will. It's full of liquid oxygen, isn't it?
And methane.
I didn't
a famously that... explosive combination.
By design. But it might all be for nothing going into space and all this malarkey because asteroids are coming. What's the latest percentage?
No, they're not. They're not. The chance of YR4 actually hitting, 2024 YR4, give it its full name, actually hitting us is now 0.00087%.
It's a shame, really, because I was kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. It's just drifting slightly to one side. There's a 1.7% chance of it hitting the moon now.
Yeah. Yay! And then the moon might hit us.
Yeah. But it's going to be eye visible, potentially naked eye visible, definitely pair of binoculars visible,
okay.
Possibly binoculars even visible. In daylight. So, I mean, it's so, 8 years away, so you've got plenty of time to work out what's going on. But
8.7 in a million, but then The chances of anything coming from Mars were a million to one, they said.
And they still can. Well,
and they still, they came.
Tuvan84 says in chat, but there's still a chance.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't you worry about it. You keep hoping. Stay positive.
Well, put it this way. There's a significantly higher chance of that asteroid hitting us than of me winning the lottery this week.
Especially if you don't buy tickets.
Well, yeah, there is that. But of any particular individual, of you winning the lottery, of anyone in chat winning the lottery, of any Hutton Trucker aggregate winning the lottery.
Given the purchase of a lottery ticket, that's why you want to begin that sentence.
Yes. Yeah, you have to buy a lottery ticket first, so there's probably a significantly higher chance.
Yeah, too bad. We need a significantly bigger rock than this one to do that, I'm afraid.
Yes, this
I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but this is only a 50 to 90 meter one.
It's just a city killer, not a planet killer.
Yeah.
And Trump will be happy to hear there's no chance of his hitting Washington.
So, the ones that exploded in the air over Russia and things like that, how big were they? Remember the ones that you could see in the night sky and things?
Chelyabinsk was about 15 metre, I think, 10 metre.
Okay, yeah, okay. So this is about 9-10 times the size of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the best guess is it's about 60 metre. It could be as high as 100 metre. It might be as low as 40.
Okay.
But it's certainly big enough to make it to the ground.
It's going to make a mess of something.
Yeah, it's Tunguska scale, this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a city killer. Mm-hmm. If it does hit a populated city, there will be not a lot of the city left. So, but we've got plenty of notice. So if it is going to happen, which is a 8 in a million chance, then we do have time to move it or evacuate.
Or evacuate, whatever. Yes. Yeah. Because if it hits an inhabited city, it won't be inhabited for very long.
Yes. It will be a bad day to be there.
Yeah, it will become an uninhabited city very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The when I last looked at the trajectory, if it did hit us, it wouldn't be anywhere near Britain anyway. It would be somewhere over Africa.
The southern side of Central America, across the Atlantic, across Northern Africa, and then through the middle of India are the danger zones. So not very far off the equator and roughly half a planet's worth.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they might hit Glasgow. We could do a bit of clear up in the city.
Would anybody notice?
Yes. Of course we would notice. Somebody would be running about the crater putting chairs out on the table.
Somebody would stand up the next morning and go, oh, my head.
My head!
What a night.
What a night that was. That happened to some guy. They were filming some post-apocalyptic thing in his street and he got home drunk that night, went to sleep. They'd set up overnight and he came out and looked out the window in the morning and went, what the fuck is up, dear? He forgot that they were filming. They'd sent letters and things, but he'd forgot they were doing it. He went for a night out, got his bed, got up in the morning and went, oh.
Can you imagine, though?
I mean, beat that. While they were filming, I think it was The Walking Dead, there was a minor incident on set and an ambulance was called. So it turned up, not knowing what was being filmed there, expecting some minor accident with one person, minor injuries. And they turned up to the scene of carnage and devastation and body parts everywhere.
Oh.
The paramedics had a fit.
You'd have the best epitaph ever if you were hit by a giant space rock.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'd have something to carve it on.
I mean, what a way to go, you know?
Yeah, what a way to go.
Self-digging mass grave?
I mean, that's right up there with the eagle that dropped the tortoise that hit somebody. Who was it hit in the head and killed them?
Oh, it was ancient Greek philosopher?
Ancient Greek, yeah, it was one of them. Wasn't it Plato, though?
No, but it was one of them.
Yeah, I'll look it up while you guys talk sensible things.
There's not much chance of that in this place.
No, I know.
Well, I can't ask the next question if it's me who's doing it.
Yeah, you can't. It's Amelia.
Although, is it Valkyrius? Have you got anything else to say?
Yes, that's what I was going to
say. Well, kind of. There was one little hiccup that happened. I don't know if we want to hear about it. I sent a thing.
I can. Oh, wait a minute. Shouldn't
we have the outro first?
Tidied the thing away before we got into the script. So, no, it's a space newsy hiccup.
Space News.
No.
We should have the Space Newsy outro and then Valkyrius.
It's a Titan related hiccup.
All right. In that case, yep. Definitely outro first.
Space news. We're flying high in the black face, the Thargoid threat. Valkyrius leads away, no fear, no regrets. Guides our Titan's breath, saving humankind. Together we'll defend.
Oh, that was dramatic. So not long after last week's broadcast, commanders noticed that at the Thargoid Titans, they were reforming. They were literally growing back together again from being blown into several pieces a few months ago. They were also making very disconcerting noises, although they have been doing that since the destruction of Titan Cassio. It turns out the Pilots Federation then just today went around all 8 Titans, cut them all up, and dragged all the parts back, kind of separating them all again. So the Titans are no longer regrowing. And that's it.
Sagittarius on the airwaves, shouting out the fight. Thargoid vast rising, gotta stand up tonight. Just for taking Titans, keep humanity.
Now see, now it's my part. I now say...
Well, no, before you do that, we need to find out that it wasn't actually a philosopher, it was a playwright. It was Asclepius that was hit by a falling tortoise.
Oh, cool.
And now it's your part.
Now it's my part. Do we have a word of the week?
Yes, and I'm doing it because reasons. The word of the week this week is chalk.
Chalk. What does that mean?
To make a squelching sound, particularly when walking in water-filled shoes, and a combination eating utensil that is both a chopstick and a fork.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
You just watch me cringe at the grimness of this one. Having cleared the backed up fluids in cubicle 3, floor mopping guy chalked his way along the corridor to his locker. To make it worse, he had lost his favourite chalk in the ensuing punami.
Kind of serves him right for eating on the job.
For anyone who's interested, the spelling and the meaning is coming across your screens in the form of a ticker tape headline on our Twitch channel right now.
For anybody who's seriously interested, seek help.
Yes. I must admit, when I first saw it, is you've also got corking, which is the thing you squeeze around in a bathroom edge. That's corking, isn't it?
Corking. Yeah, C-A-U-L-K.
As you can tell, I can't spell.
You can't smell?
No.
It's cubicle 3. It's bent out his nostrils.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're sending you into cubicle 3 if you can't smell.
You can't swim either.
Yeah. How do you think it get backed up in the first place? Oh, dear.
Well, Fragments I'm going to play probably. The next noise that gets so stuck in my head. But I'm going to make you listen to the whole 30 seconds.
Beam from, hunt straight to your brain. Beam from, hunt straight to your brain.
Welcome to the new and more intelligible Space Facts. Now that each vaguely coherent clause is not mistranslated to and from Scottish, most Hutton listeners have an observably higher chance of understanding it. The topic very this rude. Week...
and yet, strangely accurate.
I've never been so insulted in my life. Oh, no, wait, I have.
Really?
Yes.
I could have made this finish. One shorter. The topic this week is space-time, that awful abstract amalgamation where seconds and meters are somehow placed on the same set of axes. Fact number one, the speed of light, known as c, is fundamental to the entire space-time model. C is the entire reason we can convert between time and space in the first place, and that conversion is exactly what allows us to put them together. That is to say, 1 second through time and 1 light second through space are the same thing. Fact number two, everything in the galaxy, every particle, every person, and every starship which isn't using frameshift technology is always moving at exactly the same rate through space-time. That means objects which are stationary in space are moving as fast as they possibly can through time, which happens to be 1 second per second. Of course, for photons or any particles moving at c through space, their time progress is totally frozen. More generally, everything moving at various different speeds through space necessarily moves at different rates through time to compensate. Fact number three, because moving through space comes at the expense of moving through time, space travel has a time dilation phenomenon. While the actual special relativity is a bit too silly to get into here, the facts thus far ought to suffice for this concept to be totally natural. If some people are standing still at the Hutton Orbital Concourse and watching a Gotemeyer Corsair leave the port, that movement means that less time must be passing for the ship relative to the port. More time will pass for those people, as shown on the clocks in their hands, than for the commander at the helm, relative to them, of course. Conversely, relative to the commander, the ship clock will be ticking along just fine. Meanwhile, more relative time is passing at the port, which, at least in part, helps to explain why it feels like sodding ages between cargo deliveries arriving. Fact number four. In space-time, the distance between two points can be negative. Of course, in normal space, the idea of a negative distance makes no sense. But the space-time model actually has a use for negative numbers here. Positive and negative space-time distances have everything to do with causality. In space-time, a positive distance is one which has a larger time component. In this case, where time exceeds space, that means there's enough time for commanders in those spaces to affect each other. If the distance is negative, that means the spatial distance is greater. So they'll be too far apart for cause and effect to apply. And in the perpetual pursuit of pedantry, if the distance is zero, that just means it's on the cusp of some light-speed particle making the journey in time. And finally, fact number five. The time component of your space-time trajectory cannot move backwards. The misconception that one could theoretically move backwards through time all started over a millennium ago, when physics pioneer Richard Feynman of Sol 3 used negative time as a convenient way to model how antimatter particles behave. In practice, antimatter particles actually just have the opposite charge to normal particles, and they move forward in time just like everything else. And that's it. Space facts, lots of space facts that everyone did not need to know. Think from Hutton straight to your brain.
In that case, it's moving slower through time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doesn't it explain why some of the meetings I've been in seem to last for fucking years?
You need to get up and walk about more.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the answer. Just get up, walk about. The meeting will finish quicker, or walk out the door.
Yeah, just definitely finishes quicker that way.
Just go for a walk down the street. You know, like,
probably.
No, that's because it's a Land Rover.
Wait, Landros have... I was going to say, Landros have clocks.
I've realised I was talking to myself and the stream couldn't hear me. That was really clever. Yes, I have an old Land Rover. The old Land Rover, the clock will be incorrect. But that is because it is broken. No, the Land Rover will be slower, so the clock will be more correct. Whereas my conventional cars will be faster, so they are more incorrect.
Yes.
No, maybe.
I was thinking as well, if I did get up and leave that meeting and go for a walk down the street, they couldn't affect me because I would have a... Now, let me think.
You'd have to walk pretty fast.
I would have a negative space-time thing because I'd be too far away for them to reach me. Unless they phoned me.
It depends on how much you turn the volume up on your headphones.
Yeah. Yeah. I might try it. Then I'll have much more time for hunting.
So I've just posted a link because my brain was... trying to visualize what the hell a chork was.
Yeah.
Bear with me one moment,
Cora. Okay.
I will post a picture on the screen momentarily.
Yeah, it's just
sorry, standard. that was bugging me and I just had to look it up.
Yeah. It's just one end is a fork and then you turn it around and it's got like chopsticks that you can press together.
You see, where tweezers. I was going wrong. That's where I was going wrong is I was thinking single chopstick.
Yeah, I was thinking really fork, but then you use the other end as a chopstick, but not two chopsticks joined together.
Yeah, exactly. That's one chopstick, or two.
Without the fork, that's like tweezers, which is infinitely more useful than two separate chopsticks already.
Yeah. Well, you can get chopsticks with training wheels, for want of a better term, which are stuck together at the top on a little spring.
My kids love those. They use them all the time.
Do they eat food with them?
If you'll pardon the expression, that's what they're designed for.
Yeah.
And I don't mean eating food, I mean for kids.
Yes. I just imagine them walking about stuck up their nose like, look! The spring them together.
Delicious.
Mm. It just looks
really...
I
never quite know which to use. I can use one of them.
Yeah.
Looks
if I'm struggling, I can turn it around and use a fork.
See, what happens when you're trying to be authentic and all that kind of thing is you use the chopstick end, and then when you realise you're dropping rice everywhere and you're just making a mess and none of it's getting in your mouth, you switch and use the fork.
Yeah, I'm useless at chopstick.
It's all about bringing the bowl to your face.
Yeah.
See, I practiced using chopsticks on a little 5p piece.
Ooh! That's good.
You practice enough and it becomes easy.
Mm-hmm. That's very silly, though, because you can't get much food on a 5p piece. I'd rather use a plate.
That's true, but if you can pick up a 5p piece, then you can pick up pretty much anything.
The thing is, you're taking gastronomy, the fancy restaurant style of food, and you're just making it insane.
I think if I had to choose one utensil, it would be a spoon.
Yeah, you can get most things with a spoon. You can use the edge to cut as well.
A shovel.
Unless it's a decent steak.
Yeah, would it be a
serrated spork?
I was thinking serrated spork. A soup spoon or a dessert spoon. The dessert spoon's got the pointy end on it for breaking through the dessert. The soup spoon's just like a wee bowl.
Or a cake
a
fork.
A ladle.
Mm.
Cake fork. With a sort of wider
edge. And then all you could eat was cake.
Mm,
I don't see no problem with that at all.
That's my good idea.
Yeah, I don't see any downside to that.
Before we all get hungry again, because we talked about pies and now we're talking about cake. Flossie, would you like to talk about the community goals? How's that for a segue?
Yep, okay.
Okay, I got a button. Let's see if the button does what I expect.
Yay!
It's Flossie, and the community goes.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. Well, today the CGs that have been going on for the last 2 weeks finally came to an end at 1600 UTC this afternoon. It was slightly extended due to the downtimes. The Brewer Corporation Trailblazer Fleet Initiative was nearly two-thirds away between tiers 5 and 6, with 84,022,383 units collected by 16,009 contributors. This means that there will be 5 megaships deployed, but these are being delayed by a week. Protect deliveries to Minerva about halfway between tiers 4 and 5, with 298,052,495,020 credits earned by 13,007 contributors. And there are no new CGs this week, so that's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
I suppose technically I should play the no CGs this week, but I don't know if I've got that button.
You know which button you can substitute for that?
This one.
About a bit of news, even if it's no CGs.
I was going to suggest the Beetlejuice and Wetherspoon button.
Oh, yeah, we can.
How's
do that,
that for a segue?
Yeah, it was almost slick, and almost as slick as me pressing this button.
This is Galnet News Update, Hutton Edition, 6th of March 3311. Well, what's been happening in the galaxy this week? Oof. Quite a lot, but it's all about individual commanders colonising their own systems. If you have a system to build out, then you're one of the lucky ones. No one can claim a new system at present, so if you don't already have one, I'm afraid you'll have to wait. The Brew Corporation community goals have finished, and they're paying out quite a lot of credits, but the 5 Trailblazer megaships are going to be delayed, possibly for weeks. If anyone's remotely interested in power play standings, Mahan is still first, Princess Ashling is still second, and the Emperor is third. Yuri Grom is the only other power with more than 1,000 systems. As a result of the colonisation initiative, the Hutton Truckers now have a presence in 142 systems and control 57. They're apparently going west. And that's it. We don't really get Galnet articles anymore, but we'll be sure to update you next time we do.
Thank you, Beetle Spoon and Mother Jude.
Another spoon.
That's kind of cool. Another spoon.
Yeah.
Cutlery
galore. It was an excellent digestive, I think, that considering the amounts of food we've been eating all evening. We've had pies, we've had cakes, and now we've had a nice little digestif to wash it down with.
Do you know what we need in our soundboard? A microwave ping.
Well, to signify we're done.
I've got a submarine ping somewhere.
Stick
but it's a
fork
bit different.
In me, I'm done.
Bing!
I've got a submarine noise. What?
Yeah. I've got a submarine ping sound effect. It's used in the ticker-tacker for the countdown at the start of the show.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm not sure I can pull that out successfully, mind.
When the Hutton Oss boot is doing a scanning for something or other, it's ping, ping, ping. So I needed a submarine ping for it.
Clearly going for the gin, isn't it?
So are we done then?
We're done.
We're done.
We are?
We are done. Stick a pork in me, I'm done, like I just said.
Congratulations to Grey on his first pushing of the buttons.
Yeah.
Was that your first pushing?
It was my
first pushing.
Well done. Yeah.
All your buttons seem to do what all your buttons were supposed to do.
I was going to say, I never would have guessed that was your first pushing.
No.
Well, there's still some buttons to push. Let's see how this goes, shall we?
There's claiming to make an absolute mess of it still.
Does somebody want to do the shouty thing?
For the mug!
For the mug!
No, that was a bit late. Never mind.
Seamless.
Shall we end the show?
Oh, I like that one. Also,
For the man!
For the man!
For the man!
Gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.